Welcome to the Danny Picard Show, Monday, January 21st, 2019, broadcasting from the Beantown, USA studio. Beantown, USA is Boston's home for customized screen printing and embroidery. Get more information on their website, beantownusa.com. On today's show, I will react to the AFC and NFC championship games from Sunday, two overtime games, and plenty of drama to talk about. As we now know, Super Bowl 53 will be a rematch from Super Bowl 36, the Patriots and the Rams. And back in 2002, that game was actually on the same date, February 3rd. So this coming February 3rd, we got a couple weeks to talk about it. Super Bowl 53, the Patriots and the Rams. And as I look right now at betonline.ag, the spread for this game, the Patriots, a 2-point favorite over the Rams as of right now. That's as of now. And we have, there's some time to talk about it. There's some time that could change, of course. But right now, the Patriots, a 2-point favorite. And speaking of betonline.ag, how would you and a friend like to go to the big game on Sunday, February 3rd in Atlanta? Well, thanks to betonline.ag, the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet, we're giving away a once-in-a-lifetime, all-expenses-paid-for trip to that big game. The lucky winner will receive two tickets to the game, two round-trip flights, a hotel room, and two passes to a VIP tailgate party. How do you enter? It's simple. Go to betonline.ag, sign up for a BetOnline account, and use the promo code BIGGAME to enter the contest. That's promo code BIGGAME at betonline.ag. Again, it's the Patriots, the Rams, a rematch of the big game from back in 2002. Who wouldn't want to be in Atlanta for this one? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and the contest ends on January 28th, so don't miss out. Place a bet on yourself today at betonline.ag. That's betonline.ag, and again, use promo code Big Game. Today's show is also presented by DraftKings. Play for free at DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings app by using promo code PICK, P-I-C. That's promo code PICK, P-I-C, at DraftKings.com. And today's show presented by Ivy League Hydration. Look better, feel better, and perform better by jumping on the IV. That's right, the IV. And they're right here in Boston. It's not just for hangovers. Ivy League Hydration can help you with cold and flu symptoms, jet lag before a big meeting, or even your athletic performance. I know many pro athletes who use IV Hydration as part of their normal routine to perform at the highest level. They have a new store in Southie, or here's the best part, they can come to you. You don't have to go anywhere, they come to you. Check out their website, IvyLeagueHydrate.com. That's IvyLeagueHydrate.com to see all of their different IV Hydration packages. Or you can give them a call at 1-800-905-4252. That's 1-800-905-4252. Look better, feel better, and of course perform better with Ivy League Hydration. Welcome to the show on this Monday, January 21st, as we remember the life of Martin Luther King. And I am here this morning on Martin Luther King Day because, well, I, as you know, listening to the show, I subscribe to the Bill Belichick Championship Formula, which is no days off. No days off here on the Danny Picard Show, all right? We're in here on holidays. You name the holiday. Give me the last five holidays we've had. I've been in here recording a show for you, and with the Patriots going to the Super Bowl and just looking back on the AFC and NFC Championship games, I mean, what a Sunday we had in the NFL. Two overtime games. It just was incredible what we watched. And you know what? If you weren't on the edge of your seat all day on Sunday, then I really do think I think you got some serious problems. We know you don't love the NFL, right? You don't love the NFL. But I actually don't even think you need to love the NFL to have been on the edge of your seat all day on Sunday. But the second game of the day, which, I mean, I'm running on 2 hours sleep right now. How could you sleep on Sunday night after that Patriots-Chiefs game? How could you sleep? Because the Patriots, just year after year, they are in this AFC Championship game, the eighth straight AFC Championship game for the Patriots. And now, because they beat the Chiefs, it is their third straight Super Bowl appearance. and their fourth Super Bowl appearance in the last 5 years. And I know I go on this rant all the time, but as I sit here today and get ready to give you 2 weeks worth of preparation for the Super Bowl, which the Patriots are involved in, I can't help myself but go back and look at all the criticisms and look at all the ridiculous stories that people came out with, like Seth Wickersham's report before last year's playoffs, that the Patriots were done, that the dynasty was over. I mean, you still have Max Kellerman, those guys. They're going to do their thing. They're still doing their thing. Max Kellerman, and we'll go over the game and what happened, but Max Kellerman today is on this Monday. He's on social media this morning, and he's, you know, he's already doing his thing. Talking about the offsides call on D Ford, talking about the roughing the passer call, the phantom roughing the passer call. Kellerman's doing his thing. Those guys are going to do their thing. But, you know, these guys, even while they're doing their thing, they have to, maybe when the cameras aren't on or they're not on social media, to a man, like to a friend, to a family member, like they have to sit there and be in awe of what the Patriots are doing, of what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are doing. I mentioned no days off with Bill Belichick, all right? That's a formula I subscribe to on this show. That's why I'm here today. But also, they subscribe to it, and they buy in, and it works. And everything the Patriots have done has worked. And even if the Patriots lost to the Chiefs in this AFC Championship game, even if they lost to the Chiefs in this one, and it really, it got to a point where it could have went either way, right? But if the Patriots lost, you know, you get a lot of the haters pounding their chest today. They'd be pounding their chest like never before, talking about it's done, it's over. Brady threw the early interception, and then he couldn't get the job done late. Belichick, you know, he's lost it as well. They'd be pounding their chest today. But even if that was happening, I would be coming on this show telling you that 8 straight AFC championship games, 8 straight appearances in that game, 10 straight division championships. I mean, it's still something that we don't see. Now, the Patriots won the game, and they get to their 3rd straight Super Bowl, and it's their 4th Super Bowl in 5 years, and it's even that much more impressive. Even the biggest haters in the world today, I think, to a man, when the cameras aren't on, when the microphones are off, when they're not on social media being a troll, they have to acknowledge, sit back and be in awe. I don't care what they say. You're just not human if you're not in awe of what the Patriots have done and what they continue to do. I mentioned in the open, like, this thing began on February 3rd, 2002, against the Rams in Super Bowl 36. And the Patriots won that Super Bowl, and they have just been, they haven't stopped. We're still doing this with the Patriots. And, you know, I'm just embracing it. I'm embracing this. I'm embracing how I feel right now. You never know. Maybe this is it. I don't know. Maybe the Patriots win, Brady walks away, and we don't have this anymore. I can't imagine what it's like to be a fan of a team that doesn't even have a shot to get this. Like, we are so lucky in this town. And we're going to get into the word luck, right? You got to, when you go into Kansas City, I told you last week, I picked the Patriots to win the game. I took the Patriots +3. But I told you, you need a little luck. You need a couple things to go your way. On the road, you need a couple things to go your way. I think in any sport, in that type of situation where you're the underdog, you're in the other team's building, you know, I think we all know the advantages and the disadvantages in this game. You need it. If you're the Patriots going into that one on Sunday in Kansas City, you needed to get a little lucky at some point. You needed a couple breaks. You needed something to go your way. That's not a Patriots thing. That's not an NFL thing. We could sit here and talk about NFL refs, and I think we'll get into that at some point during the show. But in any sport, at this level, if you're an underdog like that, and the Patriots were an underdog, don't try to tell me they weren't. They were a 3-point dog in Vegas. They were on the road in a place which is really one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. You're going up against the quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, who showed you exactly what he does. Like, he can't be stopped. You stopped him a little bit early on in this game. But I mean, you saw at the end, the final drive where he led them to the game-tying field goal to send to overtime. Mahomes didn't touch the ball in overtime because the Patriots won the coin toss. And this is sort of much of the same from back in week 6 of the regular season. Patriots beat the Chiefs, but they didn't stop Mahomes. They didn't beat the Chiefs because they stopped Patrick Mahomes. They beat the Chiefs because they got the ball last. And the Chiefs couldn't stop the Patriots. So, you saw how special a player Patrick Mahomes is once again. And when you add everything up, the Patriots were an underdog in this game. They were. You know, they had an opportunity to do something special, sure, but they needed some things to go their way. And it's not just a Patriots thing. It's not just an NFL thing. I think that's when you get to this moment in professional sports and, you know, you're not the favorite and it's not in your building, you got to have a couple of things go your way. Patriots had some things go their way. And now they find themselves back in the Super Bowl. And it is just incredible. And I think that here in New England, we just got to be lucky. We are lucky to experience this. We are. We're lucky to experience this. We are so spoiled. It is never good. This is why when I think in 20 years, we're going to look back at the whole Garoppolo stuff. And we're going to be like, what the fuck? What were people thinking? Why did people want to move on to Jimmy Garoppolo when you could keep doing this with Tom Brady? Like, that was so stupid. I was never a fan of, oh, make Garoppolo your starting quarterback, get rid of Brady. I said stick with Brady and try to win as much as you can right now, because it's never going to get better than this. It's never going to get better than this. And I have tried to yell and scream that the top of my lungs to people here in New England nonstop over the last 5-6 years, but even longer than that. I mean, it's never going to get better than this. The fact that this is still going on, and I mean, you know, not to sound more spoiled than we already are, but I mean, let's be honest. Even if the Patriots go into the Super Bowl and they lose to the Rams, when you get into next year's NFL season, are the Patriots not going to be one of the favorites to get back to at least the AFC Championship? Right? I mean, they are. It's like, when is this going to end? I don't know. But here's what I do know. It hasn't ended yet. And because it hasn't ended yet, embrace this. Because you don't know when it's going to end. Embrace it. Patriots, Chiefs, Sunday night was, I mean, 14-0 at the half. Patriots lead 14-0. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is going to be a lot easier than maybe I thought. I was thinking that at the half. I was thinking this game was over at the half. 14-0 lead the Patriots had. And, you know, even with that interception, it could have been 21-0, man. This could have been 21-0. That Brady interception. I don't know what that pass was all about. I don't know what that play was all about. I really don't. But think about if they just pounded it in. I mean, even if they kicked the field goal there, could have been 17-0, a 3-score game. But even at 14-0, I'm thinking to myself, this game's over. This game's over. Well, as we found out, it wasn't over. Kansas City ended up coming back. They get the ball to begin the second half. And that's when the drama ensued, because Mahomes goes right out. They have a touchdown drive. I think what's funny about this is the final score in overtime was obviously Patriots 37, Chiefs 31. 37-31 Patriots win in OT, thanks to a Rex Burkhead 2-yard run, which ended a 13-play, 75-yard drive that began the overtime because the Patriots won the coin toss. Again, Patrick Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball in overtime. 37-31 Patriots win. But what's crazy about that is, with 8 minutes left in the fourth, this was a 17-14 game. Patriots led 17-14 with 8 minutes left in the fourth. And even had a little controversy there with like 9.5 minutes left. Patriots chose to not kick a 41-yard field goal while up 17-14. They went for it on fourth and inches from the 24. And I just thought, why are you... Look, I wanted to kick the field goal at that point, but why are you, if you're going to go for it, why are you giving us a Burkhead run? And I know Burkhead ended the game for him, and he had a couple big touchdowns, a couple nice runs late in the game, but at that moment, it's like fourth and inches. Like, QB sneak is your play. Like, that is your luck. Like, go to that. If you're going to go for it, give me the QB sneak. You always get it. Tom Brady always picks up the first down in that situation on fourth and inches or anything in inches on a QB sneak. Always gets that. So give me the QB sneak. We didn't see the QB sneak. What we saw was Burkhead getting stuffed. And, you know, it's obviously at that point a turnover on downs. You still lead 17-14. But at that point, it started to feel like that game in Denver a couple years ago. It did. It started to feel like the AFC Championship at Denver. You had a similar situation. You could have kicked the field goal in Denver a couple years ago, and you didn't. And I remember being up in arms, running around my house going, that's going to come back to haunt them, bite them in the ass, and it did. And when you didn't get that fourth and inches, when you're up 17-14 with, what, 9.5 minutes left in the fourth, that's when it started to feel like the Denver game. And after that, you saw the near-muffed punt by Julian Edelman, which, by the way, the refs got right. The refs ended up getting that right. I was shocked that they got that right. I really was shocked that they overturned it. I did not think they were going to overturn that. It did not hit Julian Edelman. It didn't. You could say it hit his hand all you want. They gave us every different angle. Like, from one angle, yeah, it might have looked like it hit his thumb. But then when they showed us the other side of that camera angle, it's like, oh, no, it was deceiving. Clearly, it wasn't close to hitting his thumb. They gave us every angle on that play with Julian Edelman's hand and his shoulder, both of his hands. They got that right. That ball did not hit Julian Edelman. And now I thought it was clear. It was obvious. There was some deceiving camera angles with it. But when we saw every single camera angle, everyone we saw ruled out any previous deceiving camera angle that we saw. So that clearly Julian Edelman did not touch that ball. Now, if the officials wanted to just give that, if they wanted to give the ball to Kansas City just out of pure stupidity on Julian Edelman's part, then I guess I would have been okay with it. Because, I mean, what is Edelman doing? Get away from the football. And we see this all the time everywhere around the league. And it's one of the most infuriating things when I watch the NFL. It's like, man, that thing was bouncing like 20 feet in front of you. Just get out of the way. Let that thing go. Like, the risk is so much greater than any reward that you're going to get on that play. You're not going to pick that thing up and take it to the house. Get out of the way. So if they wanted to give that ball to Kansas City just out of pure stupidity for even being near that ball, I would have been okay with it. I would have been pissed off, but I mean, I would have understood it, right? Would have understood it. So, hey, the refs got it right, and you're like, all right, let's take it easy, settle down, and let's go score. But then Brady threw an interception right after that, a ball that hit Edelman's hands. Kansas City intercepted it. Then they took it down, and Kansas City picked up their first lead of the game at 21-17. And at that point, I'm then once again going back to, wow, this feels like the Denver game. You don't kick the field goal. You have the interception, field position, Kansas City touchdown in their building. You blew a 14-0 lead late in the fourth quarter. I just felt terrible. That was the first time I started to feel terrible once they didn't go for that field goal and they didn't get it on fourth and inches. And I just had a terrible feeling about the game at that point. Felt like the Denver game. And then, of course, the Patriots, they drive it down. And Sony Michel on fourth and inches from the 9-yard line with 3.5 minutes left gives the Patriots a touchdown. They run it with Michel on fourth and inches. I was yelling for the QB sneak again. Hey, Michel ran it in. Patriots took the lead again, 24-21. Now, on this drive, there was a roughing the passer call on Chris Jones, in which his hand came down and did hit Brady in the face mask. Hit him in the face mask. Was it a Was it a weak call? Maybe. But if you're going to call it by the book, he did hit him in the face. He hit him in the face. So if we're going to call penalties for what they are, if you hit the quarterback in the face, that's a penalty, right? I mean, unless I'm getting the rule wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong on Twitter. But the face mask is part of the head, is part of the helmet, is it not? And if you hit that, it's roughing the passer. So it ended up being an incomplete pass on 2nd and 7, but you get the roughing the passer call. But I don't go back to that because, again, it was 2nd and 7, incomplete pass. Patriots would have had a 3rd down, right? It would have just been a 3rd and 7. It's not like Brady threw a pick in that spot. So you get the roughing the passer call, and I can understand why Chiefs fans would be rolling their eyes and yelling and screaming at that. But hey, he did hit him in the face. He did hit him in the head. They called it. I think if they didn't call that, though, you can't convince me that, oh, if they didn't give him that roughing the passer, this game's over. You can't say it about that. You can't say it about that. You can't. Because the Patriots still would have had the ball. It would have been a 3rd and 7. And who knows what would have happened. The way the Patriots are playing, they probably would have picked up the 1st down. And we wouldn't even be talking about that play. Well, Patriots, regardless, they called the roughing the passer. Sony Michel on 4th and inches puts it in. Patriots lead 24-21 with 3.5 minutes left. Then Kansas City, they drive down. They score a touchdown with 2 minutes left. Then the Chiefs take the lead back 28-24. And then you get a Tom Brady 2-minute drill. And you're really saying to yourself, if you can, now you need a touchdown, obviously, but if you can put this in, the game's over, right? Like, that's the way, that's what we're thinking. And there's nobody else that we would want in that moment, in that spot, to drive him down with 2 minutes left and put it in than Tom Brady on the road in Kansas City. Tom Brady, 2-minute drill. It results in a Rex Burkhead touchdown run, which obviously had some controversy to it as well on that drive because there was a 3rd and 10 play that was picked off. The ball on 3rd and 10 was thrown to Gronk, went off Gronk's hands as he reached up for it. He couldn't catch it. It tips up. Kansas City intercepts it with 54 seconds left. And you're like, you know, you're beside yourself. That's the ball game, right? No. Wait. D Ford for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was offsides. And instead of an interception, you run the 3rd down play again, only this time it's 3rd and 5, and that's when Brady, they lined up Gronk on the outside and the left side, and they just tossed it up to him down the left sideline on 3rd and 5. He went up and got it, and you got a goal-to-goal situation, and that's where Burkhead runs it in with 40 seconds left to give the Patriots a 31-28 lead. And you know, you got people, much like the ref in the passer call, you got people talking about this D Ford offsides call where it's like, oh, the ref's giving the Patriots the game. Well, it's like, well, if you're going to call the rules what for what they are, D Ford was offsides. He wasn't offsides? He was offsides, clearly. So that's a good call. So I don't know how you can really complain about that and be like, oh, the refs gave the Patriots the game. If we're going to call the rules the way they're called, much like they should have called the rules the way they were called in the New Orleans Los Angeles Rams game, we'll get to that. But I thought they called them right. I did. I thought they got it right. Obviously, he was offsides. Ford was offsides, and you throw the flag. And so the interception is a non-play. And instead it's a 3rd and 5. And you get the ball, you take advantage, and you put it in, and you take a 31-28 lead. Patriots lead 31-28 with 40 seconds left. And then you're thinking, that's it. Kansas City drives down. They kick a field goal to tie the game at 31. They send it to overtime. And, of course, you know what happens then. Patriots win the coin toss. They get the game-winning drive without giving the ball to Patrick Mahomes in overtime. They got the ball last, they scored last, and they win the game in Kansas City on the Rex Burkhead 2-yard touchdown run, and the Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl, and all I can really say is wow. I mean, all you can really say about this is wow. You know, you'd think at this point, watching these AFC championship games, you'd think that, watching any big playoff game for the Patriots, that at this point, we'd be so used to these moments that we would get less nervous as the years go on. I can actually say the complete opposite for myself. I've been getting more nervous as the years go on, and maybe that's because the thought that creeps into my head in these moments is what I keep trying to tell everybody here in New England, which is embrace this. Because you never know when this is all going to be over. This special run that the Patriots are on, you never know when this is all going to be over. And so I think that's in the back of my head, like, well, is this the last time? You know? And as this game went back and forth in the fourth quarter and the final 9 minutes left yesterday, I mean, I was as nervous as I have ever been watching a Patriots football game. And you would think it's the opposite, given how many times we've had to experience these wacky fourth quarters in Patriots playoff games. And some they win, some they've lost. But when you have a 14-0 lead in the first half, you know, you go to the half up 14-0, I'm thinking Patriots got this one. It's in the bag. It should be at least 17-0, if not for that pick down when you're at the one-yard line. I mean, could be 21-0, really, if you just, I don't know, QB sneak, Brady reaches over, gets the touchdown. You throw the pick, so you left points on the board there. But hey, it's 14-0 on the road. Did anybody think the game was going to start like this? I know I didn't. You're putting pressure on Mahomes. You know, you had Jackson was doing a nice job on Kelsey. You know, you were, the way you were covering Hill was you were playing him man-to-man, but you were giving him help over the top, so you weren't letting Hill beat you deep. And, you know, the disguision from the Patriots' defensive perspective with their linebackers, and I use the word disguising all the time. People call it the amoeba defense, or, you know, they use the words that I use. They disguise the blitz or disguise the coverage, and they confuse the quarterback. Disguising. Disguise and create confusion. Disguising. I want people to start using that because that is when the Patriots' defense is at its best with those linebackers, with guys like Van Noy. You know, we saw it in years past with Ninkovich. We see it sometimes with Hightower here. It's, they confused Mahomes. You know, they're stunting and they're busting up that A-gap blitz. But they're disguising it. And at times they would show the blitz and then drop back. Like, they were confusing Patrick Mahomes in that first half. And it was all really working out. Other than that Brady interception, you're like, how could you not feel great about a 14-0 lead at the half in Kansas City? Especially with the way you're slowing down Mahomes and you've given him nothing. So I felt great. And then when you're up 17-14, I still felt good, but you don't go for the field goal. And then when you do go for it on fourth and inches with 9.5 minutes left, up three, and you don't go to Brady with the QB sneak and you get stuffed with Burkhead, I'm thinking this feels like the Denver game. Feels like the Denver game. And then you get the Edelman play, and he gives you a mini heart attack. The refs got that right. It didn't touch his hands. Didn't touch any part of him. But then you get the interception, and you're like, you know, the football gods, you know, just basically punishing Edelman for the stupidity of even being near that ball. Kansas City takes their first lead of the game. You're going back and forth. You're getting the penalty calls. This was just wacky, but the Patriots got the ball last, and at the end of the day, Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does in overtime. You could not give that ball to Mahomes, and they knew it, and they came through in the clutch, and they get the touchdown, and you saw Tom Brady as, and again, I told you, given how many of these big moments we've witnessed with the Patriots, you would think that we would get less and less nervous as the years go on here in New England, and I think it's the opposite. I get more and more nervous. The same can be said for maybe Brady. It's like, the more you win these big moments and come through in the clutch in these big moments, you would think, you know, maybe the less he would celebrate or the less excited he would be about it. I don't know that I've ever seen Brady that excited after a win. We've seen him excited, obviously, and I say that somewhat in jest. But that was as excited, if not the most excited I've ever seen Brady after winning that game, the way they won it when Burkhead puts it in overtime, to win it in Kansas City. And you could, you know that Tom Brady has been, we talked about this last week and the week before. Brady, the fact that when they beat the Chargers, he was talking to the CBS reporter and he said, you know, everybody thinks we suck. We'll see. It'll be fun. That's Brady acknowledging to everybody that he hears what people are saying. He hears people chirping. He sees people talking. He understands that they were the underdog. And they've embraced it. And you see it again after this win in Kansas City. Tom Brady was hugging Chris Hogan. I retweeted it. The Patriots put out a video. Brady's hugging Hogan. And he says to him, we're too old. We're too slow. We got no weapons. We stink. And he's mocking these people that have criticized the Patriots for the last couple of years and really more specifically this year. And of course you get the people that are like, oh, Tom Brady has no right to say that. We never thought Brady sucked. These people are just mad that they're wrong. And they're mad that the Patriots once again have proven them wrong. And, but this time around, the Patriots actually have reason to be the underdog. Now, I know they're going to be the favorite here against the Rams in Super Bowl 53. They're a 2-point favorite, as I talked to you on this Monday, January 21st. How's that going to change in the next week and a half, 2 weeks? I don't know. But here's what I do know. You can take that spread, you can throw it in the trash, because the Patriots are going to have, the Patriots, what's going to happen between now and February 3rd is that the Patriots, who are already, they've already adopted the underdog card for this season. You could make them a 10-point favorite in this game, and they're not even going to see that. That's not going to matter to anybody in that Patriots locker room. It's not. They have committed to the underdog role, the underdog card in 2018-2019. They've committed to it. You're not going to change that. And it is dominating their brain. And that is a scary thing for the Rams. It really is. It's a scary thing for the Rams. What's also a scary thing for the Rams is, while I say the Patriots have committed to that underdog role right now, that underdog card, that underdog mentality, and there's no way you're going to change that about them this season. What's also scary for the Rams is that you're now going to have, and this is going to be the top storyline for the next 2 weeks. Number one. This is number one. The top storyline, Patriots-Rams Super Bowl, is going to be Spygate. Is going to be how the Patriots were cheating. The Patriots were spying. The Patriots knew what the Rams were doing back at Super Bowl 36. Ty Law knew what was going on because he saw the film from the Rams walkthrough or some crazy nonsense. Former Rams players who lost that game back in 2002, over the next 2 weeks, they are going to be coming out of the fucking woodwork to tell all of us that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick cheated their way to the beginning of what is right now currently known as the greatest dynasty in the history of professional sports. There will never be, never, ever be a dynasty greater than this in any sport, from any player, from any coach. It'll never get better than this, not just with New England and these teams in this town, but in all of sports, it'll never get better than this. And the Rams are going to be coming out of the woodwork. Kurt Warner, they're all going to come out. Marshall Faulk, they are all coming out of the woodwork over the next 2 weeks because they all have voices, and NFL Network and ESPN and Fox Sports, they're going to want this stuff. They're going to be seeking these people out. They're going to go to guys' homes and interview them one-on-one and say, tell us what you know about the Patriots spying on you before Super Bowl 36, filming your walkthroughs or whatever you think they were doing. Tell us about what you think. The next 2 weeks is going to be about one thing and one thing only. It's going to be about how the Patriots, according to former Rams players and coaches, how the Patriots cheated their way to start in the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. And that is going to be a terrible thing for the current LA Rams, because that is just going to be 2 weeks worth of bulletin board material for a team that is actually going to be the favorite in this game. Patriots right now, again, a 2-point favorite, but that means nothing. Make them a 20-point favorite based on all the trash talk that former Rams players are going to be spewing over the next 2 weeks. The Patriots might as well be a 25-point fucking underdog in this game. And if you want my early prediction, because of that, because of how I see Tom Brady already embraced and committed to this underdog card, you want my early prediction to this Super Bowl 53 between Patriots-Rams? Rams are going to have no shot. They have no shot. None. The Rams have no shot to win this game. I almost feel bad for them. This bulletin board material is going to get so crazy this week. It's going to get so nuts. And again, it's already there. Like, we already know it. This is the Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. Right? These guys are already, the refs helped the Patriots. I mean, it's already there. They're going to continue to add fuel to the fire. Rob Parker. I have no idea how that guy still has a job, but he does. And because he does, he's going to be on TV with who else? Name a couple people. The kid Nick Wright? Is that the kid's name? Fox Sports? Always spewing garbage. Shannon Sharp? Skip Bayless. What's Skip Bayless saying? He's a Brady fan, though, isn't he? I don't know. I think Bayless is a Brady fan. There's always so much garbage that's being spewed on those shows. I never know. I never know who has Brady's side. Who has the Patriots' side? Look, continue to add fuel to the fire. I don't care. I want to see the Patriots win a Super Bowl. And for the next 2 weeks, you know, look, we'll analyze this thing. We'll go over the storylines. We'll go over the matchups. We'll break it down in a reasonable fashion. If you listen to me, obviously I'm a Patriots fan. Obviously I'm pulling for the Patriots to win. But also on this show, I do try to give you a fair and balanced preview of these games. I do. But you want to be fair and balanced? You want to be fair? You want to be realistic? The Patriots feel like they're the underdogs. And even though they'll be the favorite in this game, they are going to have enough bulletin board material just from former Rams players alone over the next 2 weeks. It would be different if it was McDaniels and Garoppolo in this situation. Like, if it was, right? And I know Garoppolo's gone, obviously, and he's not coming back. But stay with me for a minute. If McDaniels was the coach and, if Brady and Belichick had retired 2 years ago and they kept Garoppolo and McDaniels took over, if it was McDaniels and Garoppolo leading the Patriots against the Rams, and former Rams players were knocking the Patriots, it wouldn't mean anything because, you know, obviously it was different personnel. Like, it's just a whole different group. But because that Super Bowl 36 that these former Rams players are going to be crushing the Patriots organization about over the next 2 weeks, because that was a Belichick-Brady production, they should take offense to that. And they will take offense to it. And they'll use it. I think they're going to have... There's probably somebody in the Patriots organization who has one job over the next 2 weeks. You watch all these fucking shows. And you record everything. Because we are going to be playing it. We'll play it on the plane. We'll play, right? We'll play it at Gillette before we leave. You know, we'll have meetings. We'll talk about this stuff. They're going to do that. The Patriots are going to feel so disrespected because Brady and Belichick are going to be disrespected. This is, again, I'm kind of previewing what's going to be said this week. But you know, former Rams players are about to unleash the greatest example of bulletin board material you could ever give Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And it's going to be the worst news ever for the current Rams, which is going to ultimately give the Rams no shot to win this Super Bowl. I'm telling you right now, they're going to have no shot. No shot to win this game. And maybe that brings me into what the Rams are right now after watching their win over New Orleans. The Rams should, quite frankly, the Rams should not even be in this game. I might have slipped a couple times during the show, I don't even know, and told you that Patriots-Saints was going to be the Super Bowl. Because it should be the Saints. The brutal, non-pass interference call at the end of that game with a minute 45 left? Breeze throws to his right on third down? Down in Rams territory? Inside the 20, right? The guy literally comes over and steamrolls him. You saw it. You know what happened? They didn't call the penalty. How do you not call the penalty on that? I don't understand. Other than the fact that NFL refs are just a bunch of boobs. Right? Just, they are dopes. Like, this was the most blatant pass interference. You could have called seven different penalties on that hit. Seven different penalties on that hit alone. And they didn't call anything. They took a let's let him play stance. Like, it was the most egregious pass interference penalty I think I've ever seen in my life. And it would have been first down. The Rams only had one timeout left. The Saints could have, whatever, if they wanted to run it down and then kick a field goal, they would have given the Rams back with that timeout. They would have given the ball back with under 30 seconds left. Now, maybe the Rams would have let them just score a touchdown at that point. Who knows? They would have just let them score so they had more time on the clock. But the Saints would have won the game. The game's over. They call that penalty. Game's over. Saints win. Rams aren't going to the Super Bowl. Saints got a better shot to beat the Patriots than the Rams do, in my opinion. And I say that not just because of the bulletin-bowl material. I say that not just because the Rams don't belong in this game because they shouldn't have won the NFC Championship. The refs basically put them in the game. But I say that because when you watch this Saints-Rams game play out, you know, I'm watching, like, McVay and Goff, and I like Goff. I actually, before the season began, what was my preseason Super Bowl prediction? Patriots over the Rams in the Super Bowl. It was Patriots-Rams. That was my preseason prediction. But I like Goff. I think he makes all the big plays. But you saw the Rams, like, you know, Gurley dropped a couple big passes early. What was he getting benched? I don't know if he was hurt. Was he getting benched? But just the, and I know it was loud in New Orleans, and I know they had everybody in the stands blowing whistles. Like, that was a little much. I mean, it was confusing me. I'm sure it was confusing the players. But, you know, if you weren't prepared for crowd noise, which at times it seemed like the Rams weren't, you know, the Rams do some stuff and they make some decisions, which makes me think like, they don't have what the Patriots have, which is like the fundamental, and you see this around the NFL, like things that teams do, mistakes that other teams make where you look at that and go, Patriots would never make that mistake. Never. Never. Wouldn't happen. Like, you know, and the Saints were doing it too. Like, the Saints coaching staff does it too. Like, every time they take Brees, they take the ball away from Drew Brees down in a goal-to-go situation, you're slamming your head against the wall. Like, why would you do that? You know, both of those coaching staffs, they make these mistakes, and just that one thing with the Rams, it almost felt like they weren't prepared to be in a loud environment where they were going to have some issues with Goff not being able to hear the play because it's too loud. You know, the play clock running down. You know, having to use timeouts. Or McVay going to Goff, what, you didn't hear me? On a miscommunication on a third and long situation and a crucial point of the game. Like, those mistakes, to me, that's coaching. And you want to call it inexperience with McVay? I don't know. But that seems to be a group that, you know, they fly by the seat of their pants. They're an aggressive bunch, but they make some mistakes. You know, they do have some of those, well, the Patriots wouldn't make that type of mistake. Mistakes. Right? And I'm actually watching this game going, I hope the Rams win this. That's what I said to myself. I said, I hope the Rams win this because I don't think they're cut out to beat the Patriots. I just don't. Not right now. They'll have their time and not right now. And as it played out, the Rams shouldn't be in the game. The refs put the Rams in the Super Bowl. Some people might want to come to me and say, oh, Danny, the refs didn't put the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, if you're going to call it the way the rules state, it's two different things. In the Saints-Rams game at the end, the Rams get into the Super Bowl because the refs didn't call it the way it's supposed to be called. They should have called pass interference. They didn't. If they call pass interference there, the game's over. Pretty much. Barring some type of miracle from a Rams perspective. But in the Patriots-Chiefs game, I think the refs called it. I think they called it the way it should have been called. The hands to the face, it hit the face mask. But again, the game wasn't over. It would have been 3rd and 7. Patriots still the ball. The interception on 3rd and 10? Well, I mean, Dee Ford was offsides. Was he not? Do you not want them to call offsides? Like, if they didn't call offsides, what I'd be telling you today is the refs blew it. I'd be telling you that. You know, don't even get me started on how much they just grab Rob Gronkowski all game as he's running across the field and they don't call anything. Like, so, look, I don't think you can even compare the two situations with regards to the refs, because I think in the Patriots-Chiefs game, the refs called it the way it was supposed to be called. And it's different because in the Rams-Saints game, the refs didn't call it the way it was supposed to be called. If they did, they would have thrown a flag on pass interference on the Rams with a minute 45 left, and the game would have been over. Instead, no call. Saints are like, all right, now we got fourth down. Clock is stopped. What the fuck? They kick a field goal. And look, that game continued. I'm not going to say, you know, the Saints still definitely had a shot. Drew Brees did throw an interception in overtime. But if you're the Saints, you're sitting there today going, we should have never been in overtime. We should have ran the clock out at the end of regulation, or at least ran it down to under 30 seconds. And we couldn't, because the refs didn't throw a flag and it stopped the clock, and we gave the Rams the ball back with a minute 40. So, you know, the refs screwed the Saints. Did the refs screw the Chiefs? No. Refs didn't screw the Chiefs. If the Chiefs got a little unlucky with the final coin toss, not winning the overtime coin toss, you could say that. You know, but I think that's a big offsides on D Ford. That rough in the passer, I mean, you know, even if they didn't call that, I don't think that was the end of the game. I don't think that would have been the end of the game. But I think the refs screwed the Saints. The refs didn't screw the Chiefs. So now we got Patriots-Rams. Rams shouldn't be in this game, but since they are, and it's a rematch of Super Bowl 36, all you're going to hear for the next 2 weeks is former Rams players running their mouths, calling the Patriots cheaters, and all that's going to do is add fuel to the fire that already is the Patriots utilizing the underdog card, even though they're going to be a favorite in this game. And because of that, and because of the way we've already seen Tom Brady embrace it, and you want to add more fuel to that fire, I'm telling you right now, an early prediction to this Super Bowl 53 between the Patriots and the Rams is that the Rams are going to have no shot to win this game. None whatsoever. None. No shot. You could say, Danny, you're jinxing it. Hey, I'm just telling you how I feel. Rams are going to have no shot to win this game. None. I think if there's anything you have to take away from the AFC Championship from a Patriots perspective, really, I mean, really the last couple games, is that the Patriots are rolling offensively. Are they not? In the big spots, Edelman, they're finding Gronk again. They're finding Hogan again. Hogan's making big plays. You're getting the runs from Sony Michel. I mean, I guess when you needed them, you're getting runs from Rex Burkhead. James White, other than those couple third down runs that James White was getting early in the game, he wasn't really doing much for you late in this one. And that was kind of shocking to me. You had a Dorsett touchdown, though. I mean, the Patriots offense, they're rolling. But also from a defensive perspective, you know, if they're going to put pressure like that, and they're going to confuse and create that, what I call disguising, right? They're going to use the disguising like that. Again, it's just another thing. They're going to confuse a young quarterback in Goff. I think the only chance the Rams do have, well, here's if the Rams will have a chance if they can somehow tell former Rams players to shut up, which they won't be able to do, because they'll want the spotlight. And they'll want to tell their story, because I'm sure they have some wacky story. The Rams need to tell those guys to shut up. But on the field, the only way the Rams have a shot in this game is if their front, and we know that the Rams have the personnel to get to the quarterback. And this might be an obvious thing, or you could say this with anybody, get to Tom Brady, hit Tom Brady, and you'll win the game. Hit him early, hit him often, and, you know, maybe it's too strong to say you'll win the game, but you'll have a shot to win the game, no doubt. Hit Brady early and often. If the Rams have anything, they have the personnel up front to be able to get to Brady and hit him early and often. They do. They have that. That would be, I'm telling you, my early concern would be that. You know, that would be it. But man, Patriots, you just see it with the blocking they have. I mean, I think one of the more impressive things that the Patriots have put together here in the playoffs is their blocking. Devlin, even Gronk. The job that Trent Brown's been doing. You know, some of the blocks that they're getting from the running backs. You know, picking up blitzes. I mean, the Patriots are getting the protection. And if they're going to get that, the Rams, they're not going to have a shot in this one. I'm just telling you right now. And people will say, oh, Danny, you're being a homer. You're being somebody that loves the Patriots, you know. I do hope the Patriots win. I'll be rooting for the Patriots. I do try to give you the fair and balanced coverage, though. I really do. I know people outside of New England might be laughing at that right now based on the rant that I just went on. But if you've listened to my show, you know. If there are major concerns with this Patriots team, I would tell you. But right now, I don't have major concerns. Because they are playing great football. And you could say, well, hey, you let up 31 points. Is that great defense? I mean, I just think you ran into a quarterback that wasn't going to be stopped. And for the most part, you did stop him in the first half. You stopped him in the first half. And then Mahomes was rolling after that. But I still like what the Patriots defense did, as crazy as that sounds, in Kansas City. I still like what they did. I think they showed you signs that they're going to be ready for the Super Bowl. They're going to be ready for an offense that's explosive. Like, we know that. They're ready for it. And their offense is ready to match an opposing explosive offense. But I think with the bulletin board material, the Patriots are going to have even more of going into this game. I'm telling you right now, just based on that alone, I don't think the Rams are going to have a shot. I don't. But it's another Super Bowl. We got another Super Bowl on our hands. Will I be going to Atlanta? It's up in the air. It's up in the air. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm a very superstitious person. So that factors into everything with me. It does. It factors into everything as to what we're going to do. Follow me on social media. I will have any updates. Any updates, I'll give them on social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I will have any updates there. Any updates that I give, I'll give them there. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DannyPicard. Next weekend, we're going to try to do something a little interesting with regards to combining Pick Up Your Sticks, my video game show on YouTube, with this show, and maybe bring you something a little special there. Next weekend, we'll do that. I mean, unless you're going to watch the Pro Bowl. So, but again, I'm teasing something on YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/DannyPicard. And don't forget, buy a t-shirt right now. I put together these t-shirts, and it's a simple t-shirt. It just says, we'll see. It'll be fun. With the Roman numerals for 53. And it's a simple t-shirt. But for the next couple days, it's only $14. tpublic.com/stores/DannyPicard. I got the link. It's all over my social media. So go to the link, buy a t-shirt, support the show, buy it soon so you can get it before the Super Bowl, especially if you're going to be making the trip to Atlanta. So go get that now at tpublic.com/stores/DannyPicard. Again, the link on social media. Wow, what a weekend. What a way to end the dynasty, huh? Everybody thought it was ended. The Patriots are like, it's not over yet. And, I mean, the way they're playing, you see Gronk catching passes again. There were reports before the game yesterday on Sunday that, Gronk's going to consider retirement again. And I'm going, no, he's going to consider retirement for the sole purpose of trying to get more money out of the Patriots. And if the Patriots know they have a chance to keep winning, then they're going to end up giving him something to get him to stick around, even if it's to block for most of the season, which he does a great job of. Even if it's to sit out the first half of the season and get him rested for the second half. Right? Don't forget, Edelman was suspended the first four games of the season. I mean, you for people who think the dynasty is done with the Patriots, man, you are just looking like such an idiot right now. I've never told you the dynasty was done. If you ask me, I'll give you my early prediction for next year. Next year's AFC Championship. The Patriots will be in it next year. Tell me why they won't be. Tell me why the Patriots won't be in next year's AFC Championship. Is it because, oh, you think Brady's too old? He's going to fall off a cliff? How much longer are you going to keep saying that for? Well, people will be saying it this week. They'll find a way. And if they can't put the pieces together to go that route, they will go the route of Patriots cheat. They started this dynasty by cheating. And they'll just add more fuel to the fire, and the Patriots will then go out and prove that the dynasty is not done yet. So, Super Bowl 53, it's going to be a long 2 weeks. It always is. But we are so lucky to have this once again with this team. And it's going to be something. Patriots-Rams, February 3rd. Again, subscribe to the show at Podcast One. Also on iTunes, Spotify. Follow me on social media. Who knows? We'll be doing some stuff this week, next week. Will I be going to Atlanta? We'll see. We're working on some stuff. But I'll let you know. I'll keep it updated. Let's embrace it. Let's enjoy it. Let the haters hate. Let the former Rams players call the Patriots organization a bunch of cheaters. Let the bulletin board material continue to pile up. I don't know if there's any more room. I guess you can make room. Why not? Make some more room on the bulletin board. Make some more room. Whatever happens over the next couple days, I'll be back on Thursday to react to it. And if there's other stories around the world of sports that maybe we do need to pay attention to as well, I'll also react to that. But again, if you're in New England, enjoy this. Hey, if you're a Rams fan, enjoy it. And if you're a Rams fan, maybe tell some former Rams players on social media to, hey, you know, take it easy with the cheetah stuff, with the cheating stuff, because chances are the more they go that route, the less of a chance the Rams have a chance to win this game in 2 weeks. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. I am out. Talk to you again on Thursday.